says Pastor Rob Bell, is our refusal to trust God's retelling of our story. Hell is our refusal to trust God's retelling of our story. That is surely a different way to think about the concept. And granted, as Episcopalians, we usually don't think much about that concept at all. Not a lot of talk of hell from Episcopal pulpits. And on the rare occasion that we do consider hell, we think of it as a mythological geographic location, somewhere down there, beneath the floorboards, like the molten river in Tolkien's Mordor, where a gargoyle like Satan sits atop a grotesque throne. Or we apply the name to violent places on this plane of existence. Hell, we might say, is Somalia in the 1990s. Or hell is tsunami-ravaged Thailand. But Rob Bell says that hell is our refusal to trust God's retelling of our story. If he's right, then hell is not somewhere. Or hell can be anywhere. Hell is wherever we are on this plane of existence or the next, if we refuse to trust God's retelling of our story. But what exactly does that mean? Today, Gospel's passage is Jesus' most famous parable, known popularly as the prodigal son. Our lectionary leaves out that Jesus tells this story immediately after offering the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Now that's important because it reveals to us that this story too is at its heart a parable about being lost. Even more specifically, it's a parable about losing ourselves in our own stories. That's what happens here to the parable's younger son. At the parable's outset, this young man who has just come of age has obviously been telling his own story for some time. He has an image of himself, of the man that he wants to be, of the mark that he wants to make in life. Now, it's an inflated and unrealistic image, but when has that ever hindered the young? So the son goes to his father and he brazenly asks for his inheritance while his father is still alive. Now, culturally, it's difficult for us to grasp the radical finality of the son's request. He's saying to his father, in essence, I'm done with you. I cut our lives asunder. I am me, and you have no part in me. That is the theme of the young man's story. The one the young man has been telling himself for some time. And taking his inheritance, which we should notice his father freely gives, the young man runs headlong into ways of living that are wild and exposed and dangerous. Well, to his credit, the young man follows that storyline to its logical conclusion. By the end, the young man is lost within his own story. Look closely. As he sits in the pigsty, competing with the swine for pea pods, he has become a perverse version of the very character that he has written for himself. He is spiritually and materially destitute. And he is virtually hopeless. Last Sunday, as many of you will recall, Kayleen Asbo was our Lenten speaker, both on Sunday morning and on Sunday evening. And she presented to us a truly riveting exposition of Dante's 14th century poem, The Divine Comedy. Dante, Dr. Asbo pointed out to us, wrote The Divine Comedy at a point in his life when he had become lost in his own story. Numerous events had led him to a place not entirely unlike that of the prodigal. Indeed, The Divine Comedy begins with Dante saying this: "In the middle of the journey of our life, I came to myself in a dark wood where the direct way was lost." It's a hard thing to speak of. How wild, how harsh, and impenetrable that wood was. The thinking of it recreates the fear. It is scarcely less bitter than death. Dante writes 7 centuries distant from us, just as Jesus spoke 2 millennia ago, but they both could be speaking just as easily to us today. We are postmodern people. We pride ourselves on writing our own stories, on charting our own course, on seeking our own destiny on our own terms. Some stories are grand and others are more down to earth. But eventually, any of our stories can write us into a corner or a dark forest, or the muck and the mud of the pigsty. We may find ourselves at the dead end of our mistakes and our grudges, of our pride, of our sorrows. And our souls, like Dante's, admit it's a hard thing to speak of. How wild and harsh and impenetrable that forest is. Just thinking of it recreates the fear. It is scarcely less bitter than death. But though Dante's poem begins with a descent into hell, it ends in heaven. And though the prodigal son wallows in the mud, the parable ends with a party. How is this? How do those whose souls, whose lives are in such distress, experience such a change? Well, the key, I believe, is in a phrase that these two stories share, word for word. In that dark wood, Dante says, quote, "I came to myself, and among the swine," Luke says, "the prodigal came to himself." In both stories, the same phrase. What happens there? That moment is the pause. It's the flash of insight in which Dante, the prodigal, we realize that though the narrative of our lives is well underway, and though we have written into it plot trajectories that sometimes seem set, the ending is yet unwritten. It is the moment that makes all the difference. The shaft of light that splits the difference between heaven and hell. It is the first glimpse of grace. Hell is our refusal to trust God's retelling of our story. The prodigal's hell does not quite end even there. Though he picks himself up and he makes the long walk home, he does so as a dead man walking. He keeps writing his own story. He will return to his father's house, he tells himself, not as a son, but as a slave, as one deserving of nothing because of the pain he has willfully caused and the errors he has repeatedly made. But when he approaches the house, he discovers that the father he had long ago written out of his story has been waiting all along, just off stage. The father runs to the son headlong in love. And before the prodigal can speak this next chapter he has drafted, the father retells the story. The father retells the story. He recasts the characters. He alters the plot. He provides a new ending. My son was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost, but he is found. The prodigal is stunned by his father's embrace. He can scarcely believe it. But he does not refuse the retelling. He finally trusts the love of the one that he'd earlier written off. And his world that had been hell becomes heaven. Now, we know that Jesus' story, his parable, does not end there. We know that the other elder son is waiting by the door. We understand his indignation at this frankly horrible little brother who has returned. We appreciate his work ethic and his sense of duty. We sympathize with the elder brother. Indeed, in my almost 13 years of ordained life, every time I have preached this passage, someone in the congregation has reached out to me the following week about the unfairness of this parable in common cause with the elder son. And no doubt, one of you will reach out to me this week too. But friend, it is clear that the elder son also lives in hell. There is no way in the economy of this narrative that his bristling sense of being wronged, or his sense of entitlement, or his seething anger have only just emerged. He too has been writing the story of his life for a long time. And it's a story in which he is the good son, but probably never quite good enough. He's the one who's always being overlooked, the one upon whom never quite enough recognition is showered. Each slight abrades his soul. Each time he tells this narrative to himself is another step into his own darkened forest. His story becomes its own simmering hell in which he is lost. And for many of us, if we're honest, that sounds eerily familiar too. In the end, in the very end, the Father also offers to retell. In fact, Scripture tells us he pleads to retell the elder son's story. Son, the father says, you are always with me. Everything I have is already yours. Every grace and every gift the father gives to the elder son, not because of the son's virtue or his duty or his right, but because it is all grace. Does the elder son experience Dante's moment, the prodigal's moment? Does the elder son come to himself? Does he see eventually that even he is lost in a dark thicket and needs to be found? Does he allow the ending of his story to take a new turn? Jesus doesn't say. That story is left open-ended. Just like our stories. See, hell is not a place. Or hell can be any and every place. Because hell is our refusal to trust God's retelling of our story. Rob Bell says, what the gospel does is confront our version of our story with God's version of our story. And God's is a brutally honest, exuberantly liberating story. It's good news. It begins with the sure and certain truth that we are loved. That in spite of whatever has gone horribly wrong deep in our hearts and has spread to every corner of the world, in spite of our sins and our failures and our rebellion and our hard hearts, in spite of what has been done to us and in spite of what we have done, we are loved. For the remainder of this Lent, review the story of your life that you have so far written. Are you the younger son? The elder son? Is the story that you are writing the one you want to live? Is it heaven? Or is it hell? And if the latter, what if? What if we paused to look for the shaft of light in the dark forest? What if we came to ourselves with the realization that the ending, even now, is not predetermined? No matter what we do or what we've done, no matter what we've neglected or failed to do, God runs headlong toward us in unmerited and inescapable love. And when we allow that to be the storyline, hell becomes heaven. The feast begins. And we discover that we are God's guests of honor. Amen.